The following podcast is a live recording of a radio show, first broadcast by Fresh FM, with assistance from New Zealand On Air.
Welcome to Art Talk Golden Bay with Grant Knowles, where I talk to the artists about their art practice, what inspires them, their journey, and all their little secrets and passions. So come on a journey of discovery to find out firsthand the world of art, brought to you by the Art Vault Takaka. Good morning and welcome to Art Talk. And this morning on Art Talk, I have our very own brand new Golden Bay Community Arts Council art worker, Gary.
Good morning, Grant.
Good morning and welcome to Golden Bay and welcome to the show.
Cheers.
Yeah, welcome to the job. Hey, good to have you on.
Thank you, man.
So, Gary, where do you spring from?
Christchurch originally, and then I spent probably in recent history 14 years over in on the West Coast, and then a couple of years ago moved over to the Nelson region, Tasman region, and so I currently live at Riverside Community.
Right.
Yeah, and commute over the hill every Tuesday to enjoy the beauties of Golden Bay.
Right, okay, great. So what's your history in the arts?
So for the last, a good 12, 13, oh goodness, just about 15 years, I've been organising events, mainly musical events with workshops in multiple zones, and probably in the recent last, 5, 6 years, I've been doing theatre and bringing... My focus has been on bringing more of the arts into the festivals I organise, like photography and drama and, art exhibitions and stuff. For example, I was organising the White Bay Festival over in Buller.
Got it.
And, so this was a festival that had nothing about White Bay apart from eating it. So, and I considered the arts to be a great way of unfolding a story. Particularly, bringing in the political side in such a way that people would engage with it. Yeah.
Right, because White Bait is very... that's really great to bring stuff of everyday mundane, or if we want to call it mundane, but everyday regular stuff into and bring the arts into it. It's such an important... It's part of that well-being for all of us and that connection.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And a way of communicating a story that's... I guess not so cerebral with as you're communicating on so many levels when you communicate through the arts.
And in a way, you take it back to the old bards who would travel from town to town, village to village, and tell the stories and sing the songs, and that's what it's about. It's about giving people that those stories, I think that's
definitely
important. So you've been contracted to Golden Bay Community Arts Council for a few hours a week, not as many as anyone would like, but
of course,
I'm sure. So if you're coming into Golden Bay, you've been contracted for this time to do an arts festival. Is that correct?
There's two parts to the job.
Okay.
One's developing strong networks within the art community. And exploring, well-being through those networks. And increasing workshops, support with funding, mentoring is one thing that I'd really like to be exploring. And collaboration, seeing where there's with the networking where there's potential for collaboration, especially across different aspects of art. And making art accessible to more and more people.
Yeah, I often think art's a little bit like science, and the scientists who don't talk to each other, almost proudly so, is a little bit like the arts. They don't really always talk to each other. And it's really good to bring, music and art together, and, it's very important. So how are you going to go about this? Because, you're not necessarily living here at this point, and you're not necessarily, sure of what this community actually needs. So where do you start?
Sure, by having an open door policy. And I've been blessed that every time I've come over, I've had artists coming through the door and talking to me about what's going on. And that's my first step is, there's these... I guess, KPIs or benchmarks they want me to meet. And I'm like, well, I can't meet any of those until I've actually talked to the artists and find out, you know, what's going on in this community. I don't want to be reinventing the wheel.
Sure.
You know, I'd much prefer to be, you know, if there's someone doing good work, is walking alongside them and saying, well, can I help you in any way?
So what sort of things have you found out?
What have I found out? Performing arts are strong here, which is and quite a cool kind of aspect of performing arts. What else have I found out? That's a good question.
Yeah.
I guess I've got lots of seeds of ideas, you know, that there's a call for there to be a repository of resources so that artists can offer workshops and be able to not have the availability of resources be a barrier to people to participating.
Yep. There used to be a whole set of frames that were owned by the Golden Bay Community Arts Council. They owned these frames, and you could actually just rent them off them for to do an exhibition with them. The only problem with that was that, you know, you had to fit within their frames. If your pieces weren't going to fit in those frames and their mat board and blah, blah, blah. So it was a wee bit kind of, you know, it was a good idea, but not necessarily fully thought through.
I'm hearing you. To be honest, you know, this is my fourth day over here, and so I've got lots of open threads. There's nothing I can say, you know, for sure, apart from that, you know, that's a strong theme. So the other aspect of my job is organizing a festival for the summer. And you know, that's something that I've just kind of brought onto my plate in the last couple of days and started really looking into what that looks like.
That's always interesting. There's been festivals since I've been in Golden Bay, back in 88 87, of some portion or another. There used to be one over at Pahara Hall when I first came here, a little arts festival, and it's changed, and there was all sorts of really interesting ones here. So I look forward to something new and fascinating and different, and that reflects here and now, because that's what it's about. It's not about sort of reinventing, like you say, reinventing the wheel and going back and doing the same old stuff again, because we've done that. This is now. And I guess that's a really important thing. So I guess what one of the things I'm saying is, what is it that we that you need to that you need from the people, the artists of Golden Bay?
Just to connect.
One
of my skills is to be able to just to listen and to be looking for, you know, common stories and also where an individual's at. You know, I've had one artist which come to me who does amazing work and should, from my perspective, be able to get funding through Creative New Zealand, and has filled out these comprehensive funding applications, like they're full on, and been turned down twice. And I'm kind of like, you know, why is that? And so, you know, that kind of, you know, why is that? So, you know, my interest is, you know, in the next, you know, couple of weeks, is to connect with Creative New Zealand and go, you know, this, I'm the art worker, I'm supporting these people doing that, you know, what's your criteria?
You know, and that is actually the traditional role of the arts worker. That's what we're funded for from Tasman. It's an admin funding, but part of that admin funding is for you to help people with creative communities and funding.
Sure.
And it's not just putting an ad in the paper and saying the round's closed. It's about actually sitting down with people and saying, okay, this is a good way of how to write it, your funding application, right?
Definitely.
And this is what's going to work. So for you to get hold of Creative New Zealand and say, okay, well, you know, and Creative Communities, getting to know them. We sit on that committee?
Yeah, I did the last round. Yeah, I sat on that and got a real insight into, you know, what they're looking for and you know, what makes a good application and what doesn't.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what you're paid to kind of put back to the community, I think, foremost. And I think it's really I think, you know, we are the poor cousins of sports, and I'm always going to say that, because it's so true. If we had half the sports funding, we would be flourishing, wouldn't we?
Yeah, good call.
Yeah. And cool. And so, you know, and nowadays we've got, and this has just come up recently in the last few weeks, is the fact that you've got all these dance parties, right? And these dance parties have been going for, you know, 30-something years now. They've been, first outdoor dance party was held in New Zealand on the top of the Takika Hill. It was called N-Train, and it was back in 91, I think. And it was, it kick-started a whole lot of stuff, especially here in Golden Bay. And so what's happened over the years is that dance parties have wanted to sort of put their hand up and say, well, actually, we want to be a festival now. And so it's legitimizing that move from being a dance party to a, because there's a fine sort of line between sort of, you know, taking drugs and staying up all late and dancing hard out and actually a festival, which is multifaceted. You must have kind of come across the and know the difference quite well, because it's not just about dance parties. But, you know, how does that – do you see an inroad for dance parties to legitimize themselves into legitimate festivals?
Yeah, that's a good question. Goodness. So my background is organising festivals. So I created, collaborated, and then grew into with a festival that grew into Resonance Karamea. It was Karamea Music Festival. And when it was Karamea Music Festival, the person I was collaborating with was that, you know, dance music going, you know, 24/7. And I was kind of bringing in, well, actually, I'm bringing my children along and you know, I want my mum to come along as well. And you know, so I would like there to be workshops and a kid zone and a market space and a tribal zone in this. And so what I found was the negotiation and invariably why our relationship ended was that instead of going for bigger acts and bigger systems, I wanted to go for a smaller system and to create spaces where everyone could be held. So more of that idea of a festival, multifaceted aspect of it. And so that's when it became Resonance Karamea. So that and it's interesting because, you know, I'm seeing festivals, you know, apply, well, these dance parties apply for funding to say they're festivals. And they're an interesting place because they say what it costs us. And you know, I would say what doesn't actually cost you, that's the amount you choose to spend because you've made all these choices, you know. So, you know, if they are going to go for funding, if they are wanting to make this step, then they need to be really focused on, you know, what it is that they're where they're shifting and why that is bringing health and wellbeing to their community. And I don't see them doing that. I see them using keywords, but you know, there's not actually sitting down and going, actually, you know, we're going to do this because this is the need we're seeing met.
You know, I mean, you and I are probably a similar generation of going to the Whitecliffs Music Festival back in Canterbury. If you were from Christchurch, you may remember those.
I've heard of it, definitely. Yeah,
and from those days, you know, they were festivals that were just purely live music. Two stages, that's it, and a bit of busking around, jamming around, and workshops, and that was just, you know, pure family entertainment and family fun. And, you know, nowadays it has changed a lot, and it's a fine line, and I think a lot of festivals, personally, I think a lot of those, the dance parties, haven't legitimised themselves in the way that they have held on to the fact that, well, we don't need a resource consent to do this. So we're not going to sit in the system, and we're not going to put our hands up and say, you know, we need resource management to, and this is our waste management plan, this is our fire plan, well, you need that anyway, this is our... plan for evacuation for you know, health and safety, all of those things they don't actually need. And so once you legitimize yourself into a festival that you're talking about, and you actually put your hand up and go to council and say, we want to do it with a resource consent, it makes a big difference, doesn't it?
And again, you know, the beauty is that they tend to have a captive audience. They tend to have a And I'd like to see them talking to the audience and saying, we want to head in this direction, you know, and we're going to need to do this with a ticket price to fund this. And this is the benefits we're seeing from it. And you know, when we make the step, we're going to be asking for our community to support us to make this step. And I don't see those conversations happening.
No, well, I've had a lot of pushback personally from festival organisers who don't want to don't want to deal with rubbish, and they say, oh, people have to take their own rubbish away, and they end up dumping them at the beginning of town. And it's like, well, actually, that's not good enough either. Well, we're trying to educate them. Yeah, but you're not, and this is just not taking responsibility. So it's those kind of conversations which we really need to kind of start pushing if we want festivals to not get a bad name, because dance parties are giving them a bad name.
You know? Yeah, it's an interesting journey,
know,
that one.
Yeah. Yeah, well, arts festivals, you know, performance and arts festivals, you know, I've been involved in that stuff for a long, long time too. And so I kind of have a pretty good insight into it. But, you know, we had the wood fair here. I don't know if you've heard of the, you know.
The Easter.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, they brought in, they set up a marquee, and I set up a... quite a large exhibition of art of actual, and they had to be related to trees and wood.
Cool,
you know. But it was all about the art of the trees, and you know, I don't think they had many sales, but it was about bringing stuff like that into festivals, which gives diversity, right?
Definitely. Yeah, the Whitebait Festival, we had this beautiful pop up performance from one of the drama groups. It was a bunch of kids dressed up as Whitebait with personality, and you know, wigs and sunglasses and all sorts of white
attitude.
With attitude, yeah. And they were dancing to the song "Staying Alive," and it was just it passes a message, but it brings so much joy and it's cool. Anyway,
No, that's great. And look, you know, this arts festival that you're going to potentially have. You know, have you got any idea how long it'll be, how big it'll be, how, you know, how broad it'll be, when it'll be?
Sure. all good questions. So basically what I got was a document, the funding application, and in that it says that the timing will be sometime between December and February, that it will be 7 days, that it and it'll run from 10 till 5, and it will be located in 6 halls throughout the region. And it's got some KPIs and stuff associated with that. That's like a bare basic bones of it. I think all of that's up for negotiation.
Of course.
But I think the timing's about right.
Yeah.
I think, you know, January, February would be fantastic. And I like the idea that it's a week long, because it gives us a chance to really kind of dive deep into all aspects, not just the visual arts, but performing arts and live music. And,
oh, look, a week to 10 days is ideal for something like this, and multiple places. And we can talk off here a lot about some of the possibilities that I see in that, but... Look, you know, and have you had much to do with visual arts? Have you really, you know, performance arts, but have you dealt much with, I mean, I know you know Mary.
Mary
McGill, legendary, and you probably also know Paul over in Karamea.
I do know Paul, massive artworks.
I know.
Incredible.
And they're really cool people to have, you know, been, you know, putting those communities on the map as far as arts, and they work, you know, sort of tirelessly and tireless as people to do that. You know, when it comes to sort of visual arts, you know, I mean, is that something that you obviously going to need to know a bit about? And how have you got some ideas about how you're going to engage with the visual artists?
The visual art is not my strong point. But what I've discovered is quite a few of the visual artists have come to see me, which is awesome, and they tend to be visual artists that are doing workshops. Where do I go with that? I guess my skill set is not so much to have an understanding of what their journey is. It's to listen to what their journey is and be able to sit there and understand how they do what they're doing, but be able to sit and listen for where they need support.
Yeah.
It seems to be access to resources. To they can see that it can be a barrier to access to visual arts through getting access to the tools and the resources.
Yep. Yeah. Yep, exactly.
Now, this festival and it's the way it's written up is very much loaded towards the visual arts.
Mm-hmm.
And I have done some curation of some spaces or worked alongside Mary putting, you know, artworks into a space, particularly with the art exhibitions they've done in Buller.
Yep, I know the ones.
Yeah, so you know, I understand that the space is about, you know, watching what's happening with light and sound and, you know, having a nice neutral background. And that's, I see, is my challenge with doing this festival is you know, going to these spaces and having conversations with those who are custodians of the spaces.
Were you given specific halls?
There is a list, but, you know,
You can choose. Some will work better than others, obviously.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, and I'm looking forward to, you know, meeting the people who are the custodians of the halls and finding out what their vision is and you know, and how open they are to you know, to going where with the spaces.
Now, with the long-term part of it, you're engaging with the artists and putting together some sort of directory of arts. Now, that's an interesting aspect as well. It's something we've had for 20-odd years.
Mm.
Hasn't happened for the last few years. Reinstating that or reinvigorating that will maybe a challenge, but it may be an interesting place to start from scratch again, you know, having that little hiatus. How is that going to – you got any ideas around that, be it paper, be it digital?
Having a meeting with yourself, my friend, and discussing, you know, the work that you've done over the years and you know, what you found worked and doesn't work. And there is this interesting transition into the digital and how do we, you know, make that work for the artists, you know, It's a journey. But as you say, one of the aspects of my job is to create this directory and a map associated with it, because that has been missing for the last few years. And I look forward to you know, having that conversation and then connecting with the artists and going, you know, how do you want to gauge the success of this, you know, what does this look like? What resources do you want to put
into
it?
It's hard to gauge the success of something like that, we found, because the you know, the feedback is very small. And you know, you can go back to the artist and go, oh, I don't know if I had anyone come through. You know, and it's just really hard to know. There's so many possibilities with something like that, of what would work best and what wouldn't work best and blah blah blah. These are unknowns, and I don't know. I guess researching what other communities have done, other places have done, would be also an option, I suppose. I don't know. You know, we live in a tourist destination.
Definitely.
At the beginning of the road. Not the end of the road, as people like to say, but it's the beginning of the road.
Yeah.
And
we had the same story.
Yeah. They're the other beginning of the road.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. But what we do have is uniquely is such a high percentage of artists in the population. And I think, you know, we do punch above our weight. And I think that, you know, in long term, we can put ourselves on the map as being one of the strongest art communities in New Zealand.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, this is your role.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You know, advocating and getting that out there, getting that message out there, you know, using the media, et cetera, et cetera.
And I see that's where the role of building these networks and building capacity and the festival work really well together. Is that you know, the festival can be the poster child, I guess, of the region, and that's definitely within the description of what to do, is to have, you know, a review of the festival within a national media to say, hey, you know, this is what's happening, this is the quality of the performing and visual arts within the Golden Bay region.
Well,
tell our story.
There'll be, by the time you do it, there should be a new Minister of the Arts for the government, and maybe that person could be the patron or the person to come down and open it and do some talking.
That's a good idea.
Put them where their mouth is, you know. It's really important to use the politicians for that, you know. Yeah, definitely.
There's a lovely woman at the TDC,
Yulia.
Yulia, yeah, she's a lovely soul.
Yeah.
And I had a yak with her, and what she wants is for us to be turning up to the TDC at their meetings and saying, you know, this is what we're doing, this is the benefits of it. And it's because, as you say, we're the poor cousins of sports, mm-hmm. you know, and by us turning up and putting ourselves in front of them and saying, you know, this is what's going on and inviting them, then we begin to, you know, become part of what they're conscious of, part of their conversations when it comes to, you know, particularly this long-term plans that
yes, coming exactly.
up, which I know that you have some strong input into, which is great.
Yeah, well, I spoke to one of the committees last week, and spoke strongly about the fact that we want a art strategy for Tasman.
Mm.
Nelson's got its own art strategy, which is great.
Mm.
We're not Nelson; we're a little bit different, and we want to make that point. I mean, the old art strategy, which was 2009. Called The Art of Being at the Centre, is definitely past its use-by date. It was only a 10-year plan anyway, so we're well and truly past that. But at the same time, we need to, you know, front up to what's going on in our region. And one of the things that I found that they've contracted both Richmond and Waimea Plains to the Nelson Arts to run things.
Hmm.
So it's not even being run from Tasman.
That's interesting, eh?
Yeah. So, you know, because of that, it just means that we, there's so many crossovers between Nelson and Tasman. Don't get me started on the political aspect of that, because I do see the possibility of an amalgamation one day, and I will wash my mouth out with soap and water later. But... there is definitely stuff to work with Nelson, and I think it's really important. Say they're having a busking festival in the summer, we tap into that and say, okay, can we get some of your buskers to come over? That's the sort of thing that we need to work in with Nelson with, you know.
Yeah, sure. and that's with the Nelson Arts Festival. A very good acquaintance with Kerry Sutherland and Don McLeod, and I'm seeing those guys working together to bring events from Nelson out to Motueka. And it would be good to see events come over the hill as well. But then, you know, there's also, we're doing our own arts festival, so, you know, perhaps there's an opportunity for us to go, you know, yep, okay, well, here we are, and this is what we're up to, and creating our own identity. And I like what you said, that there's actually a difference between Nelson and Motueka, and again another difference over to Golden Bay. You know, different energies, different ways of viewing the world, different ways of being, and I think that arts are really important for that, you know, from that wealth and well-being perspective of expressing that.
Well, mental health is one of the aspects of arts, and how it can really kind of work to our advantage of you know, people who say, oh, I'm not an artist, and, you know, it's a way of connecting with people. There's art therapy, and there's you know, there are art therapists out there who I have chatted to on the radio. These are people who have, you know, definitely got some good insights into the mental health of the community, you using art to actually help express that. I don't know about you, I did the Learning Connection, and again, there's stuff within the Learning Connection from Wellington that is definitely starts coming into, well, what does your anger look like? What does your love look like? What is your, you know, and using just a pastel and paper, those kind of things are so important for all of us to kind of occasionally just do it.
And I love that about art, is you get out of your head and you get more into the emotional body, into, you know, what I feel about this, and emotions being expressed through movement and colour, and, you know, and edges, you know,
and texture,
definitely. And I think that's the exciting bit about my job, is the potential of, you know, looking at art through well-being through art, and you know, particularly our youth who struggle, you know, that the expectations on them are huge,
yeah.
and them having the ability to express what they're going through through the arts, and maybe even having mentors walk alongside them and say, you know, yeah, you know, totally get where you're coming from. That was my journey as well, you know. And then, you know, what's the potential of that? You know, if a person who is a sensitive and you know, has this natural propensity towards expressing themselves through the arts, and they're supported, you know, what's the future for that person?
You know,
what stories will they tell? You know, what gifts will they bring for themselves to the wider community?
Well, often kids who are struggling at school are the ones who are actually quite creative and quite artistic, and the ones who have got who are sort of, you know, labelled dyslexia, picture thinker, they're the ones who are the creative ones in our community, and we should be celebrating that and actually, you know, pushing them towards those strengths that they do have, you know, rather than sort of pushing them into, like, you've got to do maths and you've got to do English and it's like, oh no, these poor kids are setting them up for failure, you know. Yeah. Hey, look, Gary, appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you.
And thanks for coming in and getting over the hill on a weekly basis to, you know, step into Golden Bay and, you know, be part of the arts. It's a great place to be. So it's great to have you on board.
Yeah, I feel quite humbled to be here and excited. So, and thanks for having me in, Grant, and really nice to chat with you. Yeah.
Good. Thanks, Gary. Thank you for your company today. You've been listening to Art Talk Tākika with me, Grant Knowles. We've been talking to artists about their inspirations, passions and journeys. Art should comfort the disturbed and disturb the comfortable. Brought to you by Art Vault Tākika.
The podcast you just listened to was a live recording of a radio show, first broadcast on Fresh FM with support from New Zealand On Air. Fresh FM is a community access media station based in Te Tauihu, the top of the South Island, New Zealand. The funding of Access Media makes these podcasts possible. To find similar programs by other community access media stations, go online to accessmedia.nz. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website, freshfm.net, for our contact details.